Well, good morning, everybody. We love our Calvary Church family, those who are right here in person, but also those joining us online. We are so grateful for those online joining us today. Our viewership just keeps going up online. It's really quite remarkable. And so we're just grateful that we're gathering a growing following here, but definitely also online as well. It's really exciting. And so I'm excited today that we can jump into a whole new series on how. And specifically with the title of this sermon series on how, it's just a few couple weeks. In fact, I may bring it back because we're talking about getting back to the basics, certain basic things about elements in our growing walk with Jesus and that are practical to us, disciplines that could help us grow and be building blocks to the future. But so oftentimes, some of these topics that we'll talk about over the next couple weeks can seem... Some points it just gets overly complicated and much more than they need to be. And it seemed appropriate that we talk about this today, especially we're calling a fast. And I'm just going to start off right off the get-go. I'm going to really step away from my script today. Just because there's parts when it comes to fasting that immediately when you hear it, okay, and maybe I'll just speak through me. All right. We came from a church in Missouri that was very strong on helping the church lead in a discipline of prayer and fasting. Now, for me, anytime I heard fasting, all right, my initial reaction, and some points it probably came out where, you know, when you have, okay, I'll say this. Marriage conversations, and Stacy will. So when you have marriage conversations and there's the moment where you roll your eyes, and that's not good, all right? It's just like, why are you rolling your eyes? And just confession, it's good for the soul. But there's parts even, so then when I'm hearing fasting, it's one of those eye roll moments for me. There's, in the past, it has been. And it's just like, oh, really? Really? And so many points I saw the inconvenience of it and didn't understand, didn't have the clue to the depth of the personal side and the power associated with it. And even as we were praying in our interim, allowing God to lead us to where he was going to lead us, we were convinced prayer and fasting had to be a part of what we were doing. And so there's parts when we're talking fasting and many points people have heard about fasting and but not really been taught well about it. So immediately what you might come to your mind is starvation. And so what a great day when we're having a soup and pie auction, right, to talk about fasting. I know everyone's probably had that in their head going, this is crazy timing. I love it. Because actually this is a great time because we're introducing this in a way that, again, we're wanting to keep this simple and learn a discipline. That's why we're not doing a 21-day fast. We're going to just do a 10-day fast. And we're going to walk through some of the basics of it so that I pray that you walk out of here not feeling freaked out about it, not feeling weighed down by it, but actually encouraged to tackle this in moments of prayer that we could pray specifically for some things and watch God do some amazing things. So in your bulletin this morning, we also had it in last week, but you've got a prayer guide that walks you through from our last series on the Lord's Prayer that I just encourage you as we're going on this 10-day journey starting tomorrow, there's... It's just some practical things just to keep developing this prayer habit. In some parts, our relationship and our ability to pray, fasting helps fast-track some things. In our personal walk with God, watching God answer our prayers. So if you've wanted to really grow in an intimacy with God, which has been fun as we've been going through the Lord's Prayer series, is learning different aspects of how to pray. Now fasting gives us an ability to go to a whole nother level of where we can have an intimacy with God, and also to begin to see that we're, as we pray, God begins to answer prayers. And you want to talk about watching your faith skyrocket. When you begin to pray and all of a sudden, God answers your prayer. It straightens your back, doesn't it? All of a sudden, it kind of gets you, there's an expectation that starts to come your way when God begins to answer prayer. And in this guide specifically, I want to encourage you, there's specific areas that we're going to be praying for on this fast. So if you would look in the section under Your Kingdom Come. So it's towards the middle, the bottom part of page one. But look at the third bullet point. It says specific areas to pray. And those bullet points under specific areas are the areas that I want to encourage you to look at. And so let me share with you a couple of them. So we're praying for unity as a church. We're praying for God to bring a spiritual awakening to Marinette, Menominee, to this area, to our states of Michigan and Wisconsin. May God send us an awakening that's so powerful that His presence is so thick, you can't get away from it when you're in your checkout line at Jack's. Like, you can't get away from it when you're parked in line. And I say parked in the drive-thru lane because it takes forever to get your food at Burger King. There's just a spiritual awakening God's doing, right? We're praying for an outpouring of His Holy Spirit. What a beautiful presence we had this morning. But more. A depth that's deeper. We're praying for healing. Signs and wonders to be evident all the time. Why not, right? It's what we're praying for. We're praying for repentance, that there's parts when people come in, they can't help but be drawn to make sure that their relationship is right with the Lord. We're praying that salvations occur, water baptisms. I'm going to preach on that in a couple weeks. How do we relook at water baptism? Because it's got to be a key part of where we're going in the future. Our next youth and children's pastors, please pray with us that we have the right people at the right time for this season. A couple more points. Go to the next slide. We're praying for people to grow and connect in discipleship, membership, and ministries. It was so fun yesterday in our welcome home class, having seven people in there again. It just excites me to watch people learn how they can grow and plug in. To grow as a follower, learn their giftings, become members, and watch ministries grow in our church. We're also praying for community leaders, that God give them wisdom, discernment in their leading. We're praying for our local schools, students, teachers, administrators. Pray tomorrow. I'm meeting with Marinette's mayor tomorrow afternoon. Just part of different community leaders that we're into the season where now I want to step out and meet with them and get just... literally, it's just developing relationship. Because as a church, where we need to go, if we're going to impact, we want to see a spiritual awakening, we've got to be in the conversation relationally with our community. You just don't do our own thing here on this property. Look, any work of God that God does in this building, on our property, if we don't take it out there, it dies here. And God wants to do a work that goes well beyond our doors, that touches families, that touches this region. And so I just encourage you, as we go through over the next 10 days, I just really want to lead us in a way in this prayer and fasting that we come into it expectantly, that on what God wants to do. And we just couldn't miss, and it's not coincidence because it's God's word. That's where the correlation that when Jesus, in Matthew's account of Jesus teaching the disciples the Lord's Prayer, that immediately the first thing that Jesus goes into is He starts talking about fasting. Look at it, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. So just literally where we left off, Jesus picked where we left off last week, we pick up verse 16, and when you fast, don't make it obvious as hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for fasting. I tell you the truth, that is their only reward that they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair. I don't think I'll have any problem with her. Comb your hair, wash your face. Then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows you and knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. This is what I love, is Jesus already, and if you'd back up in your Bibles when you're looking at, look at before Jesus taught on the Lord's Prayer, he talked about the religious leaders, those hypocrites. Because they would pray big words. They would pray long prayers. And some of you are going, and pastors preach long sermons. what Jesus is getting at is it's not the flowery speech. You don't have to use big words to get God's attention. It's the heart. Don't try to put on an act. Be in faith, trusting. And Jesus again, so that's why I just find it interesting that again, as Jesus starts talking on fasting, he has to point out the obvious to his disciples going, and again, don't be like them. Don't do that. And you get a picture here, don't you, of the hypocrites? So all of a sudden, their clothes are disarrayed. They've messed up their hair. I wish I could do that once in a while. But it's like all of a sudden they put on a show for people to notice. May that not be spoken of us, even as we come to church, that it's easy to put on the Christian mask. That we come in, maybe not disheveled, but we try to have it in the reverse manner that we're all together. And what Jesus is bringing to the point here is just notice that when you go into fasting, this is a special, intimate moment that God knows the commitment you're making over the next 10 days. He knows some of the level of what you're wanting to do, and he's drawing you into it. And this is, and what he sees in private, just know he sees everything, and he'll reward you. So as you pray in the next several days, over these 10 days, just know God's going to have his eye on you always, but even especially more. There's a part where he can see that you're leaning in. And so as we get into fasting, and there's a lot of parts that maybe you've never really been taught on it, and that's where I'm going to assume the latter. So let's go into what are three types of fast. There's an absolute fast of no food or water. And this would be very common in the book, found in the book of Esther. She did it for 3 days. Now, if you're going to do an absolute fast, I would not advise it for 10 days. But even for 3 days, if you're going to do an absolute fast, I would just tell you, consult with your doctor. Just notify them of what your intent is to do. But you want to be real careful on no food or water. And if you're going to do something, maybe just start with just water. But then there's is the normal fast. That would be abstaining from food, but drinking lots of water. And you're better off, I just encourage you, if you're doing that fast, don't do coffee on your liquid fast, because it'll just, and sodas and different sugary fruit drinks, just because it's going to make it that much harder on you to try to fast food. The third is the partial fast, and this is a little more common. In fact, this is where I would encourage you to land over the next 10 days, unless the Lord speaks otherwise to you. But there's a variety of ways you could do in a partial fast, and this is what I would just lay out to you. There's the Daniel fast, which is essentially abstaining from any animal products. So you're talking dairy, eggs, all meat, and obviously any bread, sugar, caffeine, you're abstaining from that. And normally that fast is a 21-day fast. But you could still do that within the 10. Another kind of fast would be a liquid fast. So maybe you're just going to have liquids for 10 days. And it's a great way to seek the Lord. But again, if you have some health concerns, notify your doctor. In introducing fasting, again, we wanted to do this step together. And so that's where, just to take some of the weight and pressure off of you, seriously, unless the Lord speaks otherwise, consider maybe missing a meal, one meal a day. Maybe it's two meals. You could approach it like, I'm not going to have anything from sunrise to sundown. But I just encourage you to at least consider that. Because what's amazing is that when you do something physical. Maybe it would be, I'm not going to do anything with coffee, anything with chocolates. Great. If you know that you're a massive consumer of those, it is a good one. Because here's the part, is when you feel, and this is the great part about prayer and fasting, is you use those moments when the hunger pains kick in, or the sweet pains, the caffeine, God, I have my caffeine, whatever it might be, when that starts to kick in, it's immediately a reminder to you, okay, I want to pray. Because we're retraining the physical to look for the spiritual. We're disciplining our body to say, my physical body does not rule my spiritual faith, and I need to press in and know God. And so in this moment, any meal that you particularly fast, I encourage you to make sure you take some of the time to pray. Get into God's word, as we were encouraged earlier in the service. Take that moment, read his word, pray, seek after God. Otherwise, what you're doing is a diet. It's not fasting. So I encourage you to just lock in with God. And so that's what we're introducing. So that's why consider just doing maybe a meal a day. But to get away with the Lord and just seek after him. Pray on those bullet points. But also I'll ask you this question. What are you asking God to do in you? What are you asking God? What victories needs do you have that you need God to meet? What are you desperate for God to speak inside of your life? See, I'm just praying, God, help me to discern even more and lead in the Spirit more. That's what I'm praying for. It's one of the things that I just want, God, help me to be more in tune, even more, to the workings of your Spirit, sensitive to it, sensitive to the things that you're trying to teach me that maybe I'm just oblivious to. Help me to see it. And one of the great parts is prayer and fasting puts you into a position to really jump into this. And so this morning, I want to take you into scripture of a story that's quite familiar, and you may not have associated it with fasting. But it's a great way to help teach us how to fast is when you look at something in scripture that's fasting. But it's one that you probably wouldn't have associated with it. So look in your Bible with me, 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to look at two chapters real lightly. And I just love this incredible story because we get introduced to an incredible prophet named Elijah. And anytime you see something mentioned, because the story that in the account of Elijah that we read here in chapter 17 and 18 is also repeated. It's brought back up in James chapter 5. Very interesting. So obviously, when we're studying God's word, we should always be paying attention. But especially when it gets mentioned twice, there's something that we should take note of. And so there's parts of what we see from Elijah that we'll see today that we need to take note of, and I feel like it'll help direct all of us in our fasting. So when we come to 1 Kings 17, what happens here is you have the story of a wicked king of Israel. His name's Ahab, and he's married to a very notorious woman named Jezebel. Yeah, her. That's his wife. No wonder Ahab's a little off, right? So Jezebel, she worships Baal. Baal was essentially a god of fertility, rain, and vegetation. And the practices of that worship was incredibly sensual, very sexual in nature. And it also included cult prostitution and practices of child sacrifice. Yeah, not a very positive moment, all right? But yet, it is reigning in Israel at this moment with these leaders. And God begins to raise up a prophet named Elijah. And Elijah goes to Ahab, and we see it there on the screen. 1 Kings 17, verse 11, look at it. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." It's pretty bold. to walk up to a king and to just to speak that. See, Elijah not only gives the word of God to King Ahab, Elijah does something else. He feels the responsibility to pray God's word into existence. He not only says, hey, there's going to be, but on my word, as he prays, there will be no more rain. There will be no more dew. See, and this is the part that I feel like it's incumbent on us, that we need to be able to pray his will in existence. And we begin to learn that in the Lord's Prayer when we're saying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Not mine, your will. See, that's a part of speaking his will into existence. And God wants to teach us in faith to speak to our situations, to speak to our pain of hunger, to speak to our physical, to say, physical, you don't reign. The faith inside of me, who Jesus is molding, is going to reign in this body. He's going to reign in my head. It's going to reform my thinking. What I see is not the greater reality. What's unseen is the better reality. Help me to be retrained in that way. And this is what Jesus says as he was praying. Say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God, bring your will to bear. So here's Elijah. He's praying, and for 3.5 years, it does not rain. During that time, he hides himself from King Ahab, and at the end of 3.5 years, Elijah makes a reappearance. And he goes before King Ahab and challenges Ahab and his false prophets to a duel. It's a great, many of you might remember this from kids' church if you grew up in it. It's a phenomenal story. Good youth service should have always been preaching on this. But here you have Elijah dueling it out with 450 other prophets of Baal. It's an amazing setting on Mount Carmel. They're going to build altars there. And each one's going to take a turn, each building their own altar, going to call on their God or gods. And Elijah's going to call on the God. And it's amazing what occurs. Look at it in Kings 18, verse 24. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, Elijah says. The God who answers by sending the fire of the wood is going to be the true God. And all the people agreed. So if you're familiar with the story, the prophets of Baal, they start and take several hours praying around their altar. Nothing happens. Crickets. Elijah starts kind of poking fun of them. He starts to mock them. Hey, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe your God's taking care of his own personal business, not listening to you. Maybe God's even going to the restroom. But Elijah's poking fun at them. And he's just sitting back. But then as evening comes, during the afternoon, Elijah builds the altar. And here's what he does. He puts the sacrifice on it. But even to up the ante, he puts water, has water brought up to it, and pours it all over the sacrifice. And then he calls on God. And you know the story. If you don't, God answers by sending fire from heaven that not only consumes the sacrifice, it consumes the water, it consumes the stone, everything. It's gone. Powerful. God will always show up, and he'll always show off. He'll demonstrate his power. And what's amazing when we look at the story of God demonstrating it, so at this point, now all of Israel, there's no question who the real God is. So they're turning their hearts to God. A revival, spiritual awakening is occurring. And so that's where we pick up the story, and this is where I want to lead us in our closing moments this morning, is 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, because I want you to see three things regarding prayer and fasting as we're seeking the Lord. First, faith sees the invisible. Faith sees the invisible. Faith sees the invisible. As we're seeking the Lord, we're going to be asking for God for what we cannot see. So some of you are needing healing today, and you can't see how it's going to happen. See, the doctors have told you one story, so you feel like there's no way this is going to happen. See, that's what medicine might say, but faith sees the invisible. Some of you might need a financial miracle. You don't know how it's going to happen. Faith sees the invisible. Some of you might be fasting and going to be praying for healing of relationships, and it's so fractured in your family that you think there's no way God can heal it. Faith sees the invisible. Some of you are going to be fasting for a loved one who doesn't know Christ and is away from the Lord. You don't know how that, there's no way God could reach them because they're so hard, they're so coarse, they're so driven on their way. Faith sees the invisible. We might even look at our same community and think that there is no way God could break through in our community and arrest their attention. Faith sees the invisible. Look at it in verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So again, there has been no rain for 3.5 years. Nothing. And even at this moment, there is not a single cloud on the horizon. But Elijah sees the invisible. He knows, he's prayed, he'll know that when he says, "God, let it rain," God will make it happen. And this is where we start to see that it's just amazing when we begin to realize the connection, and maybe you've not considered this when you've read other parts in the Old Testament, but there's a direct correlation that if we're in relationship with God, if we are, the rain happens. There's a blessing, there's an abundance of crops. And yet when we're away from God, all of a sudden God shuts the rain off. Look at a couple instances. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 14. If you carefully obey my commands I'm giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with your whole heart, then he will send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and the late rains, so you can bring in your harvests of grain, new wine, and olive oil. But read on to what it says in Deuteronomy, just a few verses over, verses 16 through 17. But be careful, don't let your heart be deceived, so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. If you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you. He will shut up the sky and hold back the rain. And the ground will fail to produce its harvest, and then you will quickly die in the good land that God has given you. So here's Elijah. He knows that the people have turned their hearts from Baal back to God. They've killed the 450 prophets of Baal. And so now the people are saying, "The Lord is God." But here's Elijah. He knows. He knows if the people have turned back to God, God is going to do what he's promised, which is going to be to send rain. He can see the invisible. Elijah could have said at this point, "Okay, I've done my part. I've done my part. Okay, I can check out. God, do your thing. Go ahead and just whatever you're going to do, God, be God." But see, faith sees the invisible. Faith jumps in to pray God's will into existence. And it's important for us to walk by faith, and it's important for us to do things of faith. And this is where we can learn from Elijah's example is faith always operates in the realm of the invisible. It sees the invisible. It hears the inaudible. It does the impossible. And so this is why fasting is so important for us, because it helps have an effect on us, causing us to see the spiritual realm in a deeper way. Because we start to quiet depending on the physical, we're leaning into the spiritual. So there's a second thing that we can see from Elijah, is that faith empowers the impossible. Look at it in verse 42. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah does something different. And this is where people miss this part, so that's why you probably would not have thought of this as a passage on fasting, because it doesn't say it, but he does it. Look at it. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. See, Ahab goes to eat. It was time to eat. Elijah goes and prays. He's fasting. It doesn't say that, but it's what he's doing. He decided to fast. Rather than following with Ahab, he just told, "You go do your thing. I've got to do my thing." Elijah goes, gets alone, and gets hungry for God. He knows God's going to send rain. He knows God's going to do his work, but he doesn't just lay it off to say God. He starts to press in faith and begins to pray for God to do the impossible. So here's the part. Fasting is where we're not eating or not eating. What we're doing is we're taking time to spend with God. That's fasting. And Ahab was off doing his part. He's eating. But Elijah's tuning into God, hearing God's heart. See, that's the heart of fasting, is saying, God, I would rather see your power on display and see your promise fulfilled than to have food. So tomorrow when you miss that meal, you're saying, God, I want to tune in to the work that you want to do, the impossible work. See, what God's doing in this church is quite amazing over the last 5 months. I'm loving it. Because God's demonstrating healing hearts, restoring people to him. It's just fun. Watching the class, people grow in their giftings. As a pastor, there's no greater joy. When you watch people get locked in on who God is and using their gifts, learning and experiencing even their unique personalities, that God can use them. And we see with Elijah that he is all in praying and seeking God. See, this is the heart of fasting. Third and finally, what we discover in this passage is that faith-filled prayers are powerful. I want you to notice how many times Elijah prays. And it's quite fascinating. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 43, because he'll end up praying 7 times. Look at it in verse 43. Then he said to his servant, go and look out towards the sea. And the servant went and looked. And then returned to Elijah and says, I didn't see anything. See, it's one of those amazing parts. Elijah prays, go check. You can see that servant. He's on top of the mountain. He's looking. After a while, as the servant, you kind of start to check out a little bit, all right? Probably like the third or fourth time, you're like, because you're running. You're looking. Yeah, Elijah, you're a nut. He's not seeing anything. Nothing's happening. How much for us when we pray for God's healing, praying for God's financial miracle, praying for God to the work that we want him to do in and through our life, the healing of our families, the healing of our church. You go down the list of what you'd be praying for, and maybe something doesn't happen immediately. What I love about Elijah and what we can learn from him is the fervency, the faith-filled prayers that he prayed. Because it goes on, the servant didn't see anything, but 7 times Elijah told him to go back. In verse 44, finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising in the sea. So I'm sure Elijah is sitting there thinking, there's going to be this big shelf cloud. It's going to come. But you know what? Elijah wasn't thrown. Even by this small little, it's about the size of a fist. It's way back there. Not something real impressive. But Elijah goes back again and again and again. Listen, you may not see the answer right away, but keep on praying. Have eyes of faith. Have the heart of faith. Have the mindset of faith that says, I can't see it now, but that doesn't mean it's not coming soon. God is on a march to bring a revival and an awakening to our country that's desperately needed. And I pray it doesn't take a calamity for us to wake up as a church in our nation. But maybe it does. Maybe it will. But to a church, to an individual that will cry out, just as Elijah, that would bow low on that mountain, God, we need a visit from you. I've shared with you many times, there's parts, our journey, that the Lord brought Pastor Stacy and I to Calvary. And there is moments that when this opportunity because the opportunity that we were thinking or were looking at didn't materialize, it was quite discouraging. But when we began to flip the script, that it doesn't matter how many times we go back to prayer, God's going to answer this prayer. And God will do the same in your life. We've got to cultivate an expectation that God is in the details, even in the no's. Even in the delays. God has his hand in your delays to make the miracle in your life. Keep consistently praying. Don't give up on the delays of unanswered prayers, but be part of his will by letting his will be done. Settling it that God let you be on display in your timing. You're in the mix. Be glorified even in this moment. Because when we begin to speak faith into our prayers and expectation, God will show up. When we settle it in our hearts, it creates a mind shift. It creates a heart shift. It creates a faith shift. If we want to see God do the work that he really wants to do in Calvary Church, then we need a faith shift. That God, I'm going to look to the invisible. I'm going to believe you to empower the impossible. And I'm going to fervently pray and not give up. The lessons we learn from Elijah are powerful. Look at verse 44. Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab," because that cloud was out there. Not very imposing. But all of a sudden, he starts saying, "Hurry, tell Ahab, he better climb into your chariot and go home. Because if you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." And as soon as the sky was black with clouds, see, it didn't take long. As soon as the sky was black with clouds, a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm. Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. And then the Lord gave a special strength to Elijah. He tucked away his cloak inside of his belt and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. See, I want you to notice the fervency of Elijah's prayer. And it says this, that as he climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, he bowed low to the ground and he prayed. Prayed with his face in between his knees. How desperate are you for God to come to work in your situation? Are you desperate or are you just convenient enough to pray at once and walk out the door feeling you're absolved? God wants to challenge us to deeper walks in him, a deeper faith. And that's the part of reapproaching what fasting is all about. Well, let me bring you to the other part of where this story is brought. Look at James chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Because now we see James talk about Elijah. What's said about Elijah? Elijah was as human as we are, verse 17. Is that not encouraging? Because at many points we can sit there and go, yeah, but that's Elijah. That's a major prophet. There is no correlation between Elijah and me. That's not what James says. James says this, Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain on earth, and the earth began to yield its crops. It's an amazing testament of faith. See, what's incredible when we look at the story is that when Elijah prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none for 3.5 years, then he prayed for the skies to be opened up, and rain happened. The earth began to yield crops. See, the lesson that James draws from the story, are you ready for it? Do you want to hear the lesson that James takes from this story? He actually shared it one verse earlier, and I'm going to share it in three different translations. Look at one verse earlier, James chapter 5, verse 16. It says this, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." I love how the NLT says it. Look at the King James. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That is what James is trying to make sure that we don't miss from Elijah's story, is that when you pray, there's power. it will produce wonderful results. It'll avail much more than what you could ever ask, think, or imagine. It'll be powerful. It'll be effective. You want your prayers answered? Pray. Pray. And have faith, just as we learned from Elijah this morning. The worship team would come. Listen, what I take stock in is the fact that Elijah was human. He was just like we are. Ordinary person. See, God wants to do powerful things. When ordinary people pray, God's powerful things happen. He prayed. I love how in the Greek, it actually says this, he prayed. And I chuckled when I researched this, when I looked at this, because it made me think in the Old Testament of Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, when you looked at the word in the Hebrew, so even though New Testament's Greek, when I looked at Jabez's prayer, when the word bless, if you actually translated it correctly, it would be bless, bless. Lord, would you bless, bless me? And here we see a similar rhythm in the Greek where Elijah prayed. He prayed inside of his prayer. He prayed. Lord, help us that we get desperate, that we prayed. That we will chase after. So over the next 10 days, may we begin to believe God to do the impossible. What are you believing God wants to do in and through you? What are you expecting God to do in just the next few days of your intimacy and your walk with Him? God wants to do a wonderful work in us. It's going to be a wonderful season, a wonderful moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to be in your presence. And Lord, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I believe you're preparing hearts, God, not for today and the start of this wonderful season, that God, for what you're going to work in, the work you're going to do in our church, for the way you're going to go to work in our community, for the way you're going to work in our lives, our situations, the way you're going to meet our needs, God, for the way you're going to heal people, touch your people, provide for your people. Bring a work in our lives. God, I pray that faith will rise up in hearts today. That God, during this season, during this moment, the next 10 days, God, your muscles will be displayed through this season. As we begin to pray and lift up our needs, God, answer it according to your riches in heaven. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. God, give us faith for the impossible, for the invisible. May we look for your hand. Give us fervent prayers. God, you're so powerful. You're so wonderful. God, teach us to pray. Touch your people. We love you, Lord. May this be a pivot point in the history of our lives, in the history of our faith, in the history of Calvary Church. May we point back to moments such as this, a season such as this, that God, we will see your power, a shift occurs in what you do in and through us and in our midst, in our services. Do it, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I pray you're tracking with me on this, that whether you're watching online or you're here, I pray this is starting to make sense, that God hears you when you pray. Just like he did Elijah. God heard Elijah the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. And it wasn't that God wasn't doing thing. Actually, he was orchestrating the storm to come at the right time that he intended it to come. God wants to do the same for you today. And some points, he wants to demonstrate that to you in your life. There's some here today, maybe watching online. you're hearing all this about a powerful God able to move, you need to know that the first part for watching God to move in your life, in fact, he already orchestrated it. The very fact he got you here. Oh no, I did that. You could say, I did that. I got myself here. Well, you know what? God drew you. God happened to put you onto our YouTube channel or Facebook group, and you just happened to tune in. Guess what? God has a message that he loves you, and he wants to work with you. And that's the part of this fast. He wants to demonstrate his power and presence in your life like never before. So if you're here today and you do not know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, but you know you need to recommit, or for the first time, I need to give my heart. I want to see God do his work in my life, but it starts with me turning my life over to him. So if you're here today and you need to make that decision, would you just lift up your hand, because I want to pray with you. Just make a motion. Just, you could even give me the eye. Like, yep, that's me. We want to pray with you this morning. It's so awesome. I want everybody to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Forgive me for my sins, trying to do things my own way. I give my life to you. Be my leader and my Savior. I give it all to you. Show your power in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we've got some helps that we want to give you. So if you would make sure you see Pastor Stacy or me before you leave here this morning. If you don't even have a Bible, we want to make sure to give you one. But make sure you make note that you've prayed that prayer. And I'm going to have the worship team lead us back into one song, and then we'll get busy with our soup and pie auction. God's so good. But what's so fun is God wants to do such a powerful work in you. As we start this prayer tomorrow, I just want us to set it off that we just say, God, may my focus, my attention, you've got it. Train my eyes from the physical over the next 10 days, God, to the spiritual. Help me to have faith for the impossible. Give me faith to pray fervently. So when my body says one thing, when I get a caffeine headache, that's me being reminded, okay, God, you want this moment, and you're going to speak, and you're going to show, and you're going to demonstrate yourself. Let's worship the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lead us, speak to us, Lord. We're so excited at what you're going to do. In Jesus' name.